still have to collect taxes in order to provide services for our communities, our schools, our county services, our fire departments, all of those things. So we have to have a system that is going to be sustainable and predictable. And under the EPIC system, because I followed, TEOS is the best example to give people. And as Tony mentioned, we don't have the votes out here. And because we don't have the votes, we've lost on TEOS every year, to the point most of the schools in the 43rd district were down to receiving nothing as of a year ago in terms of state aid. That will be the exact same scenario under EPIC, because what we're saying is we've seen how the legislature's failed us with school funding, which created a property tax problem, and now we want to give them 100% of the control over the taxes we need out here to fund our services, our schools, and all of those things. And so we don't have to wonder how that would turn out, because every year the legislature would be in control of designing the formula, tweaking it, changing it, to determine what's taxed, what rate it's taxed at, and most importantly, the distribution formula. And the other thing that is really a huge issue is, Tony talked about land ownership and property rights absolutely are fundamental to our freedom. I could not agree more. But when we look at the real reality of eliminating property taxes completely, let's talk about Ted Turner. Here in Cherry County, Ted Turner owns over $120 million worth of property. He's paying taxes on that that come to Cherry County. Under the EPIC option, Ted Turner would get off scot-free. So any out-of-state landowner or foreign landowner, which is a huge concern about foreign land ownership, would not pay a dime. So all of the taxes currently collected on those $120 million worth of land would have to be made up by someone else, and that's us. He would not be paying a dime.
Tony, do you want to elaborate a little bit more on the EPIC option? I've heard anything from an 8% tax to a 20 or 22% tax. As they always say, I guess the devil's in the details and how the unicameral decides to work with it, which would be one of you guys representing our district. So your thoughts on the EPIC option tax?
Well, first, the first thought is this. First of all, the people are going to decide. So it's a ballot initiative, and they're trying to get signatures to get it on the ballot. So that's the first thing. I mean, I can support something, which I've stated I do, but the people of the state of Nebraska are going to have the first say, which that sounds like a pretty good idea, doesn't it? We start with the people of Nebraska having a say in it. And whether they get that on the ballot or not remains to be seen. And if it gets on the ballot, then it's going to come to the legislature. One of the things I do like about the EPIC tax option is the fact that it will be codified in our Constitution. And, when you start putting things into the Constitution, it's going to give a framework, a parameter constitutionally that's going to give, it's going to fence these things in. And so people just can't just go off willy-nilly. One of the big things with the EPIC tax is that it reminds people that we leave, as a state of Nebraska, we leave a lot of money on the table. 60% of our GDP in this state goes untaxed when it comes to sales tax. And so there's a lot of money, billions and billions of dollars out there that would be brought in. And so when people say, yeah, we're going to lose revenue over here, but then they're also going out and talking about paying our fair share, it's going to broaden the base. And there are people that are not paying their fair share, and they're right here in Nebraska, but that brings those folks in. And so and the other thing about the EPIC tax, when people want to talk to me about government spending and how can you get the people together to agree that something's got to be changed in Lincoln about anything? One of the best things, and the fact that we live in a state that we're basically operating in a unicameral, which is basically under that one man, one vote system, that one man, one vote idea. Well, if you have one man, one vote, and you've got multiple ways of taxing people, it divides us up. But if we're all being taxed the same way, and we're all in the same kettle together, the same boiling pot, okay, we're all feeling the same pain, we might be able to get together and agree to say, you know what, let's put some of our differences aside and we can agree, because we're all getting scalded right now. So that's the other thing. It brings us together and it levels the playing field. And so, like I say, if they can work on that and if they can get that on the ballot, that would be great. But that's down the road. But there's a lot of other things. The tax exemptions, there's $70 billion out there in tax exemptions and sales tax across the state that are just left there. And from what we can see, about a third of those are in the agricultural sector, and we want to protect those. But then the rest of it is over there in Lincoln, over there in Omaha, a lot of money flowing, and so we're getting the short end of the stick out here in the central and western part of the state.
I think everybody agrees there's a problem in the tax structure. The way to fix it, the EPIC, I was kind of like what Tanya had said, was looking at it right off the bat, it's like, wow, this looks really good. But the devil is in the details of it, because the details would be decided by the legislature. So getting it on the ballot and putting it out there, and then turning it over to people that are out